asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're talking about why financial pessimism will eat you alive.
So we've talked about Fear Factor and some of those different shows here on the podcast before. Joel, have you ever eaten anything alive? I guess like the quintessential example I'm thinking of is like swallowing a goldfish at some trashy bar.
Nope, that's never did it.
You know, that kind of thing. Or maybe I'm thinking of like the worm in the bottom of a like tequila shot or something like that.
No, never done any of that stuff.
Can't say that I have.
Maybe I haven't lived an adventurous life. Maybe that's what that says
about me. I think there's a lot more to an adventurous life than eating things that are, or swallowing things that are still alive. But we are going to talk about financial pessimism, why we think that more folks need a little injection of financial optimism, sort of like a cortisone shot to get you through the game.
But. And it really does. Like it's shockingly makes a massive difference. And I think, you know, what we want to talk about is an overwhelming tide of pessimism that it feels like our country has experienced, is continuing to experience, and kind of push back on that because it's going to make a difference, not just to like in how you feel and how you move through life, but it's going to make a difference when it comes to your money too.
It's going to impact your wallet as well. Yeah. Real quick before we move on to the show, before we get to the beer that we're going to enjoy during this episode, we were just talking, and I don't know how we stumbled upon this, but this is the kind of thing we do. We're talking about different financial products and whatnot, but we got to thinking about Venmo, Cash App, the different financial apps on your phone, and we're like, wait a minute, are those apps FDIC insured? Because more and more folks, they're using those accounts as if they were checking accounts, and we quickly looked it up, and guess what? They are not FDIC insured. Yeah. So just a quick tip, do not store excess money within those apps. Preferably, immediately deposit that money into your account or withdraw it. Initiate that withdrawal from the account. That way you don't have that money just sitting there.
I don't think Venmo has the ability or lets you have the ability to move funds right when you get them without manually doing it. Whereas Cash App, I have like a little toggle in the back.
Really?
And I can literally...
Is there an automatic sweep?
There's an automatic sweep.
Oh, shut up. I didn't know that.
So I have used that just to prevent any money from sitting there the Cash App account.
Well, you want to get that money out. You want to get that money into your high yield savings account where you're earning that real interest.
That's right.
Which we can say these days because the banks are paying a real interest rate.
Well, and that's where your money is protected too because it's just not protected in these accounts. One, from scammers. I get all sorts of random requests. Like once a month, it seems like somebody's...
Stranded at the grocery store. Or send $100.
Jimmy Two Shoes is requesting like $500. I'm like, who is this person? And that kind of stuff happens all the time.
You don't want to just out of the goodness of your heart donate to
I think about it sometimes.
Jimmy Two Shoes.
But then I think I like to give in different ways. and maybe Jimmy Two Shoes needs another pair. I don't know. But like this is the kind of thing.
Tomorrow he'll be Jimmy Three Shoes.
This is the kind of thing most people don't think about though is my money in these apps safe? And the truth is that
We've never talked about that on the show before.
Venmo and Cash App have not been great when somebody does get scammed about helping them get their money back. And at the same time, since the money isn't FDIC insured and it's not earning anything.
If they were to go under,
yeah,
you out that money.
Use those apps to facilitate transactions, to facilitate paying a friend or family member for something, but don't use it as a place to store money. Make sure you're moving the money out and that you're not keeping a balance, basically.
Yeah. I will say, though, that if there are any, if you have a check card, basically, if you have an account that's associated with either Venmo or Cash App. So like Cash App, they have like the Cash Card. Mm-hmm. And that is an FDIC insured bank that has partnered with Cash App. And so you might be thinking, oh, no. I definitely have seen FDIC insured before. Well, that's money that is specifically insured via that bank. But for, I think, the vast majority of folks out there who are just using the app, they haven't gone down the rabbit trail of expanding the Cash App offerings or the Venmo offerings, then your money is not FDIC insured.
Yeah.
So yeah, just keep that in mind.
Word of the wise, yep. For sure. All right, Matt, let's mention the beer we're having on this episode. This is called Stress Dissolver. Let's hope it works its magic by Common Space Brewing. I feel better already.
I feel so relaxed.
And this is a friend of the show, 5 a.m. Joel. He donated these beers. This is a California brewery to us. So big thanks to our buddy.
Out of Hawthorne, California.
Yeah, it's a blackberry sour beer. So I think he picked it up at Trader Joe's out there.
What?
They've got good beers at Trader Joe's.
I forget. I remember buying scotch at a Trader Joe's when Kate and I, last time her and I went out to Yosemite. We landed, I forget exactly what city we were in, but walked in there. I saw some off-label scotch, and I thought to myself, that's something I want to enjoy at the end of a long day hiking.
Yeah.
But cool. Thank you, Joel, for donating this one to the show.
And we can't get liquor in grocery stores here in Georgia. But
nope.
They do it in California. It's legal there. So, but Matt, let's get on to the subject at hand. Let's talk about financial pessimism and how it can mess people up. And for some reason, this topic made me think of ice baths. They're so hot right now.
Oh, yeah.
Not really hot, but they're, you know, people like them. Bad humor. But I've never done one.
Idiot.
Speaking of like things we haven't done, haven't eaten a live animal, and I haven't done one of these ice baths. I'm kind of scared. But you know, there are lots of folks purposely jumping in freezing pools of water every day. There's some guy at your gym. Didn't you say he's spending $20 a day?
He claims
on ice?
$20. He does two ice baths every day, evidently. So, and you know, there's supposed to be beneficial reasons to doing it. Like it's supposed to help with inflammation, with muscle recovery.
Sure.
If you're really a fitness fanatic, if you want to really get nerdy about it, it activates brown fat. I learned this listening to
I don't even know what that is.
Huberman Lab.
Of course you did.
It's like the good kind of fat.
Okay, it activates it.
Well, at least a better, higher metabolic health.
Okay, I've heard it elevates your mood, stuff like that, which is cool. $20 a day on ice sounds extreme.
That's insane.
But I think a lot, interestingly enough, I don't know about our listeners, but if someone threw me in a freezing cold pool of water, I'd be pissed. Like, I would not be happy. I'd be like, what are you doing? But some people choose to do this very thing on purpose. And I think so much of why has to do with the person's outlook, right? Because like you said, the ice bath is largely done for health benefits. But most of us, including myself, prefer warm showers, hot showers,
sure,
because we're not necessarily thinking about the health benefits. We're thinking about how we can be most comfortable. And so I think a simple shift of perspective can drastically change how it is that we view an activity and whether or not we want to participate or not. And similarly, when you approach the world from a pessimistic point of view, it has a negative impact on how we do so many things, including how we handle our money.
That's true. Yeah. So actually, just last night, dude, I hopped in the shower and I assumed that one of my girls was getting out of her shower at right about the same time. But no, she kept that hot water running the entire time. She took like a 20-25 minute shower, meaning that
they're not even teenagers yet. But
oh my gosh,
they're already there.
Might have to install a second water heater by the time I've got four teenagers all showering. But what this means, though, is I got to rinse off in some frigid water. Understandably, I was annoyed. But if I had had a different perspective, I could have even embraced the cold. It would have been something I was looking forward to. It's like, I'm not even paying $20 in order to take this cold shower.
Right.
I simply needed a different point of view. And instead of looking at history and taking an encouraging note of optimism from our past, it seems that a malaise of pessimism is just keeping folks from taking the most basic money moves that could benefit their future. And, you know, it's not that they don't don't know what it is that they should be doing, right? Like, it is not necessarily a math problem. Instead, it's an outlook problem. Too much pessimism is going to throw sand into the gears. It's going to inhibit your financial progress. And so if you feel like defeat is imminent, if you don't believe that you can make progress, well, you're going to be bound to lose. And hopefully this episode can change your perspective.
Yeah, it's you got to have that kind of small but mighty perspective. And it's just so easy to get lost in a cycle of pessimism, I think, especially today. And as a nation, like you said, Matt, we're in this malaise of pessimism. I like the way you put it. It seems like we're more pessimistic now than ever before. And I think stats actually bear that out. New statistics reveal that a record 69% of Americans hold negative views about the current and future state of the economy. So they say, hey, you know what? It sucks now. It's going to suck for forever. Like, that is basically what people are saying. And that's 7 out of 10 people who basically have that take. And let's be honest. I mean, bad stuff happens with astonishing regularity. So we're not here to be head in the sand, sort of. Believe everything's going to be great. The truth is, if you want to bathe in the sadness, it's never been easier, because the 24/7 news cycle just gives us something to be upset about no matter what. And it makes me think of the recent Wall Street Journal poll, Matt, which found that only 21% of Americans think that their kids are going to be better off than they are. And again, that's more pessimism. That's 8 out of 10 people saying, my kids don't have a shot at a better life than I've got. Yet we're living in the greatest age of abundance the world has ever known. The progress we've made in the past 200 years, and 20 years specifically, is astounding. Yet we manage to tell ourselves this story, this doom and gloom sort of despair story, with those clear signs of progress all around us. It makes me think, and I know I probably shouldn't reference him because he kind of got canceled or whatever, but Louis C.K., do you remember his airplane bit? I think he told it on like a late night show or something, and it was just the best thing ever, where
folks were complaining about Wi-Fi.
About the Wi-Fi not working. Yeah. And this is like 10 years ago when that was still like a novel concept that you could actually get internet on an airplane. And he's like, we're in a metal tube hurtling through the sky. Like, it's kind of incredible. And so it's amazing. You can either be the person on the airplane being like, why doesn't the Wi-Fi work? This sucks. Or you can be like, I'm in a modern marvel. It's amazing how safe airplanes are, how they fly me at 500, hurtle me through the air at 500 miles an hour to my destination. And I can go places I never could have gone before for cheaper than ever before. So much of how you view that that trip, that experience, depends on your outlook.
Is that how fast airplanes go, by the way? 500?
I think so. I think they're like 450. Am I wrong?
As soon as you said that, I was like, I have no idea how fast airplanes go.
I think it's like 400, 500 miles an hour.
What's Mach? Like Mach 1? Is that 1,000?
I don't know. Or 2,000? I'm not sure.
Okay. so you mentioned that.
I'm going to say 1,000. You're right.
I think it's 1,000. Yeah. I said 2,000 because I'm thinking of 2,000 pounds within a ton.
Well, what did he reach in the latest Top Gun, like Mach 9 or something, and then he passes out?
Yeah, I don't know. but I wanted to mention, you brought up that Wall Street Journal poll, but there were some other elements in that poll that revealed that basically that we value money more highly than other values that were more traditionally held in high esteem. I'm talking about values like our country, our family, community, children, or religion as well. But not only are our priorities out of whack, but honestly, we think that pessimism, it's partly driving it, but it's also being exacerbated by that same set of beliefs. It's almost as if our society-wide pessimism is swirling out of control, and then it's creating more of the same.
It's like a doom loop.
It's reinforcing itself. It's like a turbocharge-ness of pessimism. so it kind of makes me think, like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Right? Because you could make a pretty good argument that even the deprioritization of values like your family or community and religion, that these are actually the sources, perhaps, of the heightened levels of pessimism that we've seen.
Yeah, it makes me think of our recent conversation with Simo Stolzoff and how he talked about that's why we put so much value in our careers now. We've lost basically a sense of value and meaning in some of these other places where we traditionally derive them.
Absolutely.
So the career is the end all be all. And so not only is it bringing home the bacon, but it also informs our self-worth. And that is not a healthy place to be in when most of your feelings of self-worth come from your job. And then when you skip out on community and family, it's no surprise that you end up with higher levels of loneliness too. Because back in 2018, 22% of all adults said that they always or often feel lonely or isolated. That was before COVID. That was in 2018, right?
That's crazy.
So my guess is those numbers have gotten worse. Maybe doubled? I don't know. This is just a guess. But a lack of social cohesion is directly responsible for some of the downer vibes that we might be feeling. And funnily enough, new stats have just come out about the Americans who consider themselves among the happiest. They literally, in response to a survey, not only do they check the happy checkbox, they say, no, I am very happy. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that
it has dropped, but there still is a certain set of population.
There's this contingent of folks, mm-hmm. and there have been articles written about, like, what can we learn from these people who are very happy? Well, a lot of them say that a strong marriage, being religious, a solid fitness regimen are the main reasons why. And a lot of these folks were actually older adults, interestingly enough. But that was just kind of fascinating to me, like, that these things that we're getting away from as a culture that have traditionally brought happiness and have made us look on the bright side, I think, a little more frequently, the happiest people still retain belief and attachment to those things.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think those are a number of the factors that have led to this overall pessimism. And I think media and honestly, technology are partly to blame as well. And unfortunately, news outlets, they've been incentivized to cover the stories that, guess what? It's the stories that get us fired up, that make us mad.
Well, that's what social media amplifies too. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. to write the headlines that are going to generate the most clicks. There's a reason you never see the headline like local family enjoys a nice dinner together. An outdoor play session afterwards. Like, that is not, no one cares about that.
Womp womp, zero clicks.
That is not going to go viral. And instead, it's the polarizing tweets when it comes to traditional media, but like you said, social media as well, right? And honestly, aside from the most divisive content that we can find on social media, it's, I think, the slow drip that we are exposing ourselves to of just like the images, the video, that is undoubtedly leading to dissatisfaction in our own lives. Data from the CDC, they show that the number of teenagers over the last decade with clinical levels of depression has doubled. And there's research from Dr. Jean, I think it's Twenge. We actually mentioned one of her articles a few weeks ago on a Friday flight. She dug into the data on millennials and how well they're actually doing compared to just the stereotype of what millennials are often.
A pessimistic stereotype.
The like that they're often thrown
when,
in.
When the data shows more optimistic like results in reality.
Yeah, yeah. But she's done a lot of research on different generations. But she highlights that one of the ways that this depression has manifested itself is via pessimism. And this is especially evident among Gen Z. She noted that it's one of the biggest shifts. It's one of the biggest differences that she found when she dug through lots and lots of research between millennials and Gen Z is the outlook on life.
And the reality is that everything that we're experiencing, the more pessimism that we're feeling, it infiltrates every area of our lives. And it really does impact our finances. And so that's what we really want to get into. That's the heart of the show for today. I think we just really wanted to set it up really well because there is, we're not fighting some straw man. Pessimism reigns supreme
this
in our culture.
It truly is a real problem, but we're also not going to leave you in the lurch.
Right.
But I feel like we've taken people on this journey and we're like at the bottom of the hill right now. And we're not going to like open the door and kick you out and make you walk to the top.
Right.
We're going to help you to get to the top.
But it really is gonna mess with your money if you retain too much pessimism. How it does ruin or how it can lead to ruin for your finances. We'll discuss more on that right after this. Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000 plus 5-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/howtomoney.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
All right, we are back. We're talking about how financial pessimism will wreck you. And all that being said, we just kind of talked through all the different ways that we are not fans of pessimism.
Check your pessimistic self before you wreck your pessimistic self.
But that being said, some pessimism is actually necessary. So we're going to make a case for moderate doses of pessimism. You don't want to overdo it because it can lead to lots of downsides like we just talked about. But one of my favorite money quotes comes from friend of the show, Morgan Housel, and he says to save like a pessimist, but invest like an optimist. And the reality is that we save money because bad things, they can and they do happen in life. This is the reason that living paycheck to paycheck is such a precarious position to find yourself in, right? Like basically you've got zero financial margin. Our emergency funds are necessary because they act essentially as like these financial shock absorbers, right? Like they cushion and they smooth out the ride as we are pursuing our financial goals. And ultimately, that small injection of pessimism is actually going to allow us to be optimistic over the long run, because those savings are going to ensure that we don't completely derail ourselves, that we don't completely wreck ourselves, Joel.
Yeah.
Ignoring reality, were we to wear rose-colored glasses, that could lead to financial ruin, and that's what we're trying to avoid here today.
Yeah, I love that balance, right? Because I think optimism is the greater need, especially considering kind of what we're dealing with as a culture and as Americans with just too much pessimism. Just we're inundated with it.
It's true.
But it's also important to mention that like no pessimism and being optimistic at every turn and potentially not being realistic in terms of potential downsides, potential emergencies that could befall you, that would just be unwise. That would be not prudent when it comes to your finances. So, and theoretically, I think you might assume that pessimists would have lots of money sitting in cash in a savings account, that they would say, man, I'm nervous to invest, but at least what I'm going to do, because a rainy day thing could happen and it could mess me up, I'm going to make sure I have more cash in my reserves. That is what you would assume a pessimist would do. Mm-hmm. But the reality doesn't play out this way either. Data shows that while nearly 2/3 of optimists have started an emergency fund, less than half of pessimists have one.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So even though we should be saving like pessimists because unforeseen expenses always crop up, optimistic people actually end up saving money at a higher clip. And practically speaking, Matt, this is why money gear number one is to set enough money aside for a basic emergency fund, which we have named as just, it's hard to come up with a one size fits all figure, but we have said $2,467 is a great initial amount for people to strive to have in that emergency fund before they move on to any other money gear. And then we want you to put that money aside and don't touch it for anything other than a true emergency, which is like an unplanned doctor's visit that's necessary. If your AC stops working, you got to replace the compressor. An insurance deductible that I am dealing with right now. So these are the kind of things that emergency savings is really meant for.
Yeah, yeah. You've had a firsthand account of the need to use your emergency fund recently.
And you know what?
Unfortunately.
And a pessimist would say, gosh darn it, like that sucks that I'm, but the optimist would say, that's what the emergency fund's there for.
Sure.
I'm glad I have it.
Absolutely. So that's the impact of being optimistic that it can have on your savings. But then that second part of Morgan Housel's advice is invest like an optimist. Because let's just be honest, if it seems like it's going to be all doom and gloom, right? If the future does not look bright, why would you actually invest your money?
If AI is going to run everything and we're actually going to like,
if Skynet's about to take over, yeah,
if it's
what's
gonna
the
be,
point?
What was that Joaquin Phoenix movie? Was it Her or She? Something like that?
Oh,
where he,
I
like,
never watched it.
With dates the AI, basically. He falls
Scarlett Johansson's voice is the AI.
I mean,
whatever,
if that's our collective future, then we should all just stop investing now and unplug from the Matrix.
No, it's true. Like, if you truly believe that things are going to be worse in the future, then you really should just take your cash and don't even stick it in the bank, because, of course, those could fail as well. And then we actually have seen a couple of those fail recently. Mm-hmm. But don't put it, stick your money with a bank. Stick it under your mattress, right? Like, bury it in your backyard. Actually, money or like cash,
it
can degrade. And so make sure, go ahead and make it gold while you had it.
Right.
Because if you're too pessimistic, like, you definitely wouldn't consider investing in companies who are going to take your money. They're going to use it to innovate. They would develop new products and services, make the world a better place. No. That's not going to happen if you're taking the pessimistic point of view.
We might not even be around to see it, because World War III might be around the corner. So it just doesn't, it doesn't make sense. Right?
It makes me realize just how skilled we've become at hedonic adaptation in the age we live in, and just the technological advances that we expose ourselves to. Like, literally, I feel like it's on a daily basis that there's something in the news where it's just like, oh, this was able to be achieved.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're not impressed by it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we are constantly just like, okay, it's just the new normal.
Even those like James Webb telescope pictures, it's cool for a day or two.
I know, but then we quickly move on, and that's just yesterday's news.
Yeah.
And there's something about just the speed at which technology advances today that I think has caused us to be able to move on so quickly. We're just no longer excited by anything that we come across. Jonathan Haidt, he's a researcher, social scientist, and you brought something up to me. Like, you mentioned how he was talking about how, like, we lack awe in our world today, right? And he said something like, awe is like a reset button, how it pulls us out of ourselves. And in a way, it's almost as if there's nothing that awes us anymore. Like, nothing is impressive. And when you're not excited, when you're not impressed by anything, well, why would you invest for the future? Because it's all just ho-hum.
And it almost,
like, there's nothing that is worth kind of getting all excited
about.
It's
illustrated by the fact that we use awesome to define everything. And it's like, because we don't really find anything to be truly awesome anymore. And so, it's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think that language, it means something. And it shows that we have kind of lost our capacity to feel that awe. And I do think that
something
that's...
Something that is truly awe-inspiring.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem. But and when you think about it logically, Matt, I joked about World War III, but it's kind of hard to imagine worse scenarios than what we've already lived through in the world over the decades and the centuries. Like, think back to Genghis Khan, right? Like, that was a crazy time in human history. When you compare what was happening then, and I'm not like some history buff that knows all about it, but like, it seems like a tumultuous time for a lot of people on the Asian continent.
Yeah.
And like, we've had wars, pandemics, world wars, right? Depressions. Yet human progress has been unrelenting. And when we're talking about...
Fly around in a metal tube at, what, 450 miles per hour.
I know. You have like the world, all the information in the history of the world almost in the palm of your hand, in your pocket. There's just so much that's happened really in the past couple decades that has changed our lives for the better, as long as we can siphon off our attention long enough to not get drawn in too far, right? Mm. And when we're talking about optimism and investing, we're not talking about being naive, right? Investing in the latest random crypto coin because you're hoping it's going to go to the moon, that is an entirely different thing. You, of course, want to thoroughly consider the pros and the cons of any potential investment you might make. You need to understand that you're risking the loss of capital when you invest money in the stock market or in any potential investment in real estate, right? Like, there's no guarantee that real estate markets continue to go up the same way they have been. But you want to have optimism, though, that the US and world economies are going to continue to create and solve problems, generating wealth for those companies and for the folks like you and I who invest in them.
Yeah. I think we need to be focusing on the upside potential that is unleashed or that's unlocked by our ability to invest for the future. I want to share an interesting quote from chess grand champion Magnus Carlsen. This is kind of a long one, So I'll emphasize the parts that are important, I think. But he said that it's always better to be overly confident than pessimistic. I realized sometimes after games that I was actually way too confident. I was way too optimistic. But if you're not optimistic, if you're not looking for your chances, well, you're going to miss opportunities. And you know, I think there are plenty of players in history who have been immensely talented, but they're just too pessimistic. They see, and this is the part that stood out to me, they see too many dangers that are not there. And so they cannot perform at a very high level.
Wow.
Dude, this is such a great quote, I think, for someone specifically out there who's listening, and maybe they're afraid or maybe they're hesitant to actually invest their money, and perhaps they're just sitting on a large amount of cash. We're not saying that bad things don't happen, because they do. But if you are so preoccupied with prepping for every single potential negative outcome, where you're going to miss your chance to seriously grow your net worth by investing your money. Makes me think, we've had questions to the show before about folks asking about some very niche insurance products. Uh-huh. And
like cancer insurance is what,
yeah,
one example is.
Or like pet insurance. And it's, yeah, not that we think that you shouldn't love your dog or that you shouldn't spend money on your cat or something like that, but you can't insure.
Definitely not in your gerbil, though.
Or you shouldn't insure. I guess you can, like, because there are crazy insurance products out there. But to a certain extent, you have to assume some of those risks. There truly isn't a way to eliminate all risk from your, yeah, life. It's just, it's a part of living life.
Yeah, and so we have to be wise about which ones we take on ourselves and which ones we do insure, like my home. Glad I had insurance on that, right? Because that is, yeah, one of those things where I couldn't replace it on my own. A laptop, that's a different story. A gerbil, that's a different story. And even pet insurance, like running the numbers, figuring that out is important. But for a lot of people, you can go bankrupt insuring yourself, I think, right? Like there are so many insurance products out there for every potential niche situation.
Mm-hmm.
You could insure yourself to the hilt, and that would be, I think, almost like the pessimistic way of going about things. The realistic with a bent towards optimism thing to do would be to insure the things that you need insured and then self-insure the rest of the way, having that money in the bank. But I think that's a good point. And in addition, a 2019 study, Matt, found that optimists are more likely to make financial progress because they can more easily see the upside of taking action.
Yeah.
And that's one of the downsides of being overly pessimistic, because even though you might have the right information, you fail to take action because you doubt that it's going to make much of a difference. You understand maybe the power of compounding, but when you're too pessimistic, you envision a world where the most expected outcome of growth and progress don't actually materialize. And so you end up, yeah, missing out.
Yeah. I almost think that in this case, this is an instance where a lack of imagination, a lack of understanding what the potentials might be down the road is going to come back to bite you in the,
yeah,
butt.
Yeah.
I think we need to be able to just think more creatively and not be locked into sort of like a scarcity mindset where it's just like, whatever it is that you see right now in the present time, that doesn't necessarily mean that like that is where things end. Like things are going to continue to expand, and there are going to be innovations and new products and new ways of solving problems. Exactly. Like, yeah, you were just underestimating like the ability of humanity to creatively solve problems.
Even think of something
that's
like,
what I don't like.
Like global warming. There are, don't they have like sea slugs in certain parts of the ocean who are,
sure,
creating some sort of oil that might potentially replace fossil fuels at some point? I mean, it's like these are the kind of things that some entrepreneurs and brainiacs out there are testing. I don't know whether it's going to succeed, but like there's always someone looking to make progress, and human ingenuity, it doesn't stop, even in the face of tumultuous circumstances. So I think that, yeah, if you're not investing, betting on human ingenuity to just kind of like cease, I mean, you're really doubting human history and all the progress that we've currently made.
Exactly.
You're saying, oh, it's probably going to stop now, just when it's getting good, right? Just when it's getting interesting. And I doubt that's going to be the case. So simply put, this means continuing to invest no matter what the markets are doing and no matter what the news outlets are reporting. But again, we're not talking about unbridled, ridiculous, obscene optimism that has no bearing in reality, right? Because putting all going all in on a single stock because you're hoping that one's going to take off, that would be gambling. That'd be like risk-taking to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Or there was this apartment complex, Matt. The owners of it foreclosed on a 3,200-unit apartment complex in Houston, largely because they were not just optimistic, they were reckless, right? Mm. They took out debt that did not have almost any locked in interest rate. And as interest rates went up, they felt the crunch, cash crunch. They assumed that that rents would continue to go up the way they had been going up during COVID, which was extreme. Those have leveled out. They have moderated, if not started to decline. And so it's not wrong to buy real estate and plan for potential scenarios that aren't best case. You should have a plan in place, a backup plan. And that, I feel like that is a perfect example of investing in a way that assumes everything is going to continue to go gangbusters. And if you have over the long term, things will, we believe, in the market, right? If HTM listeners continue to invest for the next 15, 20, 30 years in the markets, you will build wealth. But if you recklessly invest and you're not paying attention to the terms and you're not paying attention to kind of the trends and what could potentially happen even on the scene, then you're not striking that balanced combo that kind of Morgan Housel is preaching, I think, in that quote.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, like earlier, not too long ago, you mentioned just how what's needed most is more optimism, yeah. Right? That's what you see. Like, that's what's in the headlines is the collapse of FTX.
Yeah.
This bank folds because of pyramid scheme, whatever. What you don't hear are stories about the millions of Americans who are becoming millionaires because they're sure. Slowly investing within their 401ks day in and day out.
We try to highlight those too when Fidelity and Vanguard report those numbers.
Like, we love that good news. Yeah. Exactly.
And there are millions of people out there who have become millionaires the slow, boring,
yes,
methodical way.
Absolutely, yeah. And so we want folks to be optimistic in that measured, just plugging away at it, kind of. Like, that's the approach we want folks to take. And optimists, well, they also tend to do better in their careers and they make more money. Stats show that sales folks who consider themselves to be optimistic, they outsell their pessimistic counterparts by 56%. That's a pretty giant gap.
Yeah.
Optimists, they also tend to make more and they get promoted more easily. It's almost as if the optimism is adding like some helpful fuel to the fire on the work front. Because honestly, like, if you don't think that your boss is going to give you a raise, and so because of that, because you don't think it's going to happen, then you opt not to ask. Well, you're definitely not going to get the raise, right? Like, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. If you don't make the sales call because you think that the chances are kind of small that you're going to make the sale, that they'll actually be receptive, well, you've sealed your fate without even giving it a go. And so it makes sense that optimism fuels your career, it fuels your earning potential, and we certainly want folks to take the more optimistic path when it comes to their work and their career.
Makes me think of how my kids ask for things, and they are unafraid to ask for basically anything. Like, my daughter, she's 9, and she's like, I want a laptop for my birthday. And I'm kind of thinking, yeah, right. Like, not going to happen. But she is without fail continually asking for this thing, continually plugging away for it.
She's got that Joel optimism streak in her.
She does. So sadly, this has gotten passed down from just genes, right? She's got it built into her genetics. But it's one of those things where those kids, they believe anything is possible. And we need a little more of that, that playful spirit, that optimistic belief.
They haven't been beaten down by this cold, hard world.
It's true. Like, that's part of why I think we get there is we have been told no. We have been rejected, and we start to think that the best course of action is to not even believe or to not even attempt, right? And so we're basically saying, even though you might have had those experiences, there's reason for optimism. And it makes me think of a phrase that we've all heard, Matt, in this economy. And it's kind of an excuse, right? Because who could make inroads in their career? Their savings or investments?
In this economy.
When everything around us is tumultuous, right? Too much pessimism will ultimately cause you to want to save and invest less. Like, why do more work for the future when you don't necessarily believe that you can build a better one or that your kids can have a better future? And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You either won't reach those lofty financial goals or it's going to take a lot longer to get there. And so be careful if you lean too hard in that direction, because it's going to impact your savings. It's going to impact whether or not you invest or how much you invest or how you invest. It's also going to impact your career, the chances you're willing to take and how hard you're willing to go to achieve something that you're really passionate about. I think if we are too beaten down, Matt, by our prior experiences and the ways which we have been let down in the past, we are liable to lean into that pessimism really hard. And everything around us is kind of pushing us in that direction too. But we have to like swim across the current on this.
That's right. Yeah. So we've talked through some of the impacts that being optimistic and what the kind of impact that can have on your money, on your finances. But we're going to specifically get to some tips that we think are going to help you to become more optimistic. And yeah, that's going to impact not only your money, but it's going to impact your life in a very real way. We'll get to all of that right after this.
Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Ka-Chava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Ka-Chava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Ka-Chava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Ka-Chava. Just go to Ka-Chava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's Ka-Chava.com/howtomoney.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
All right, Matt, let's keep going. We're talking about financial optimism. This is just one of my favorite subjects because I am naturally optimistic. Mm-hmm. I was actually talking with a friend last night and he was like, why do you like such depressing music? and I was like, why do you listen to the tunes that are just like so freaking sad and down? And I was like, I think it's just because I'm such a naturally optimistic
person. You need it to like balance you out? Is that why we're friends? Because yeah. you need a wet blanket.
That's
every
right.
Now and then?
Every now and again.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it helps put me in touch.
It's good to know yourself.
Yeah. With something that I have a hard time getting in touch with normally. But I do think there's a difference between being optimistic and not being realistic. And I think, too, it's important to realize that we're all born with certain dispositions. And you can't just flip a switch. And yes, maybe I came out of the womb more naturally sunny by nature. I don't know. Who knows? Nature versus nurture. Like, that's a deep question that we can't really get into on this podcast. And we wouldn't know how to. But that it doesn't mean that we have no impact on our day-to-day viewpoints or that we have no ability to change, even if we kind of have a natural predilection towards certain ways of being or thinking. And research finds that mindset is only about 25% hereditary, which shows that we all have a reasonable level of control over our thought life. So Matt, let's talk about how to increase our optimism. I think that's really important because we've seen how it can negatively impact our finances. So how do we then infuse more optimism into our lives, enabling it to hopefully help us make more progress in the realm of money, but in other areas too?
That's right. Well, the first thing everyone needs to do is take an ice bath because that's going to activate your brain. I mean, all joking aside, exercise and tending to your physical health, it has profound implications for your mood, for your body. And studies show that folks who participate in vigorous exercise, they tend to be significantly more optimistic than folks who had lower rates of activity. So simply put, what this means is get out there and lift some weights, maybe get on a rowing machine like Joel, simply just go for a hike with a friend, and make those things regular occurrences in your life. Find ways to just incorporate these into the natural rhythm, as opposed to it being something that you're going to do, you know, for 3 weeks at the beginning of the year. And no surprise that folks who are exercising more, not only are they more optimistic, but these optimists live between 11 and 15% longer on average. You literally live longer when you are exercising more, when you are more optimistic. And these folks also show that they stressed about their finances for 145 fewer days compared to their more pessimistic counterparts.
It's like almost half a year.
Yes. Could you imagine?
I stress about money half as much.
Imagine not thinking about money, which for a lot of folks is something that just really, it's on their mind a lot. It stresses them out. Imagine,
we've talked about the constant like IQ drain, essentially.
Oh my gosh.
Like 12 IQ points that people lose by being constantly stressed about money. And part of that is just a pessimistic bent that's taken over. Part of it is
has a big impact.
Literally a lack of savings. But part of it then is the mental belief or the mental connection they have to that money as well.
Yeah, but going back to the most very happy people from the latest Wall Street Journal study that they did in conjunction with the University of Chicago, it's folks who are active. And so just get out there, stay fit.
Makes me think, though, a pessimist might say, oh, you're going to live 11 to 15% longer? That means there's more money you got to save for retirement. So might as well just nip that in the bud right now.
All right, Eeyore.
But that's where pessimism can take you. And Matt, you kind of hinted at social connections. That's another thing you can do to increase your optimism levels. You said go on a hike with a friend. And I do think hanging out more with family, friends, and neighbors is a pretty darn good piece of advice that is really going to kind of spur us in that direction. There's a new book called Hanging Out, and the author makes the case for the importance of casual hangs. I feel like I could have anecdotally written some stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, I feel like that's a book that I could have written.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Well, I mean, isn't it ridiculous that, like, on one hand, I hate that book because it seems kind of intuitive. Yes. You're like, I need to hang out with
Do we need a book to tell us to do this? Yeah.
But that being said, that says a lot about our society that we need a book like this because we have so focused on one particular sector of our lives that we need it spelled out in order to realize, in order for us to lift our nose from the grindstone, like we talked about. You already mentioned Simone. We talked with him on Monday's episode about just creating a more diversified identity and having friends. Again, seems silly that we need to, that we're saying this out loud, but that's such an important part of living a joyful and fulfilled life.
Well, and hanging out with people is such a radical proposition these days that she got interviewed on Ezra Klein's show. Like, it's that apparently insane of an idea to think that maybe this is going to make us feel better.
Crazy.
And I think it will, right? And so, I feel like even introverts, they need human connection. And the pandemic just did a number on all of us. And so figuring out how to rekindle those friendships is crucial to our future optimism because we're beings meant to live in community with one another. And meaningful relationships can turn that frown upside down.
You know? Well, and not only, I think, hanging out with friends, but also family. So kind of going back to some of the studies that we presented at the beginning of the episode, it's folks who are valuing family. And I think often what that can also mean is reaching out to your parents. You're out living on your own maybe for the first time, or maybe you're in your 30s, you've got a kid and you're basically completely slammed. You're in that stage of life where you have no margin when it comes to your schedule at all. It feels like every second, every minute is being scheduled. But what that means is prioritizing those relationships, prioritizing family. And I think that kind of like dovetails with the social connection that we get from hanging out with friends as well.
So our friend who donated this beer to the show, 5 a.m. Joel, he has like a recurring happy hour that he does with people on his street. And everybody knows Fridays at 4, it's hang out in Joel's front yard.
Nice.
It's BYOB. So it's not like he has got to get like his place cleaned up or anything like that. Like, it's super chill. And I think that's a really good, like, maybe potential thing to implement that doesn't put a big burden on you to create some sort of hangout space.
Yeah.
It's literally just like, green light, 4 o'clock, let's go, let's hang, let's talk. The kids will run around, do crazy stuff to each other.
Yeah.
That's like a good way to go about it.
It helps too when you live in LA and the weather's always nice.
That's
there.
True.
We can like hang out outside in the front yard.
Yeah.
But maybe that's an argument for moving down to the Sun Belt like so many folks are doing these days. But another bit of advice that we think is going to lead you to becoming more optimistic is to consume less media, both mainstream and social media, because, I mean, you probably don't want to be completely ignorant of what's going on out there in the world, right? But the 24/7 news cycle, it hasn't been a good thing for us as a country. And tuning into it with regularity isn't doing great things for your outlook on life in all likelihood. Thinking about politics less, that would likely help a great deal, a great number of folks as well. And let's be honest, it's not like we have the ability to change much of that anyway. And so that's kind of like the mainstream national media. But when it comes to social media, man, like delete apps from your phone. If you find yourself doom scrolling late at night, and it's A, keeping you from going to sleep on time because you just keep scrolling and you keep scrolling. But and then on top of that, you're blasting yourself not only with potentially unhealthy content that's comparing yourself to other people and the lives of folks who where you're like, oh, I kind of wish I was abroad, or yeah, I wish I was doing like slow travel where you're living in a country for months at a time.
But that's that unhealthy blue light stuff too, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Just blasting your brain, like that blue light, it's telling your brain that it's not time to go to sleep. And then by the time you do put your phone down,
it's party time, and it's going to take you an extra hour of turning and wrestling. And yeah,
it's crappy sleep. And so, I mean, I think it sounds silly, but even just charging your phone in a different room, I think that can go a long ways. And it's something that sounds like old, like fuddy-duddy advice, but I've like literally I think this is something I'm going to start implementing in my own life, because I find myself like, okay, I'm gonna scroll for a little bit longer, and before I know it, like 15 minutes has elapsed, and I'm like, dang it, I should already be asleep by now.
Yeah, no, I think that's good advice. And I think so. Something else, this one's going to sound a bit woo-woo, Matt, which is not normally my vibe, but imagining good things for your future. I think that can also help when it comes to becoming more optimistic. And what I mean is like thinking about what it's going to be like to achieve your goals. It can give you the visualization to keep going down the path of reaching them in the here and now. And so, I don't know, imagine future you with no credit card debt and meaningful savings on hand, and how that would significantly change your life. And it's not some sort of dream it and achieve it thing. I hate stuff like that. But the way we talk to ourselves matters. It's crazy important.
Manifest it, Joel.
Not that. Like it's, and I don't know how to say it without like kind of toeing this line, right? Yeah. But so many studies have found this, like how we talk to ourselves and how we're able to conceive of our own futures. If we can think good things about those things, then it's going to actually help put us on the path in the right direction. When we can visualize it, it makes us more motivated then to do the things here and now that are going to help us actually get there. And if we keep doubting our ability to make progress, it's going to directly impact the actions that we take or opt not to take.
Yeah, but simultaneously, there's a balance to strike between looking ahead to the future and being thankful for the things that you already have, like,
yes,
like the ability to kind of look back on like your history and to be thankful for those things.
100%. And so that's actually, I think, another thing that helps us breed more optimism is to document the good things that we have right now. This is a practice that we do at the dinner table every night with our kids, and we call it like a rose, a bud, and a thorn. And so what was your rose of the day? What was the best thing that happened today? What's the bud? What's the thing you're looking forward to in the future? Is it camp this summer? Is it a field trip? Like, is it the end of school? Is it, what is it that you're excited about? And then the thorn, like, let's talk about the bad things too. Sometimes bad things happen. And then how can we discuss that in a way that maybe makes us feel better and kind of turns the negative thing that might have happened that day into a healing conversation? So I don't know, that's kind of how we practice it. And again, maybe that sounds a little weird, but I think
it's good.
Documenting those good things, like we're so quick to discount those good things or not even, like when someone does something amazing for us,
it's not
just
about
saying thank you that someone made you dinner. I mean, what does it do for them when you say that, when you use those words? And then what does it do for you when you actually acknowledge it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. In my mind, it's less about, it's not that we're actively trying to discount things. It's just that we're just looking ahead, right? There's a fine balance between setting goals for yourself and working towards those things versus constantly only looking forward and looking ahead, which is why I think, like you said, like pausing for a moment and talking about your day, like looking to the past, how that can be helpful. A conversation Kate and I've had recently is like we've noticed that we don't have many photos like hung up in our house. And I think one of the things that we're going to do is literally print out pictures from our past to help us to be thankful for where we are now.
I love it.
Because I think Kate and I are both very visual, and I think we need some visual cues to help us to remember what has happened in the past. You know, like we need those things to help us to see that, like, oh man, look at that tiny apartment that we used to live in. Can you believe that?
Look how far we've come.
Or look how small the kids were, or like, oh man, look how unhealthy I was back then. Like I'm in much better health now. But the ability to reflect upon those things can make us grateful for the things that we've achieved in the past. And not only can it be, I think it can also make us a little more content perhaps, with the life that we're living now. Like I almost think by thinking about things that have happened in the past and by being gracious for those things, that I'm able to live more presently within the here and now, right? And so it's not like you're just completely living in the past where you're just like, oh yeah, the good old days.
Yeah.
Like where you're hanging out with a bunch of high school buddies or something like
we're
that.
We're experiencing a lot of the nostalgia craze because we miss the days of yore.
Sure, yeah.
Right? That's why the Super Mario Brothers movie, even though apparently it wasn't good, like made $800 million.
Did it really?
Yeah. Because I think we're longing for nostalgic events because we think that things were better in the 90s. Mm. And when... Yeah. Like when you think about it, if you could be, if someone said, I've got a time machine, where should I transport you back to? Most of us probably wouldn't choose to go back to anywhere in the past. I mean, unless like something terrible has happened in your life. But think about just from a world perspective.
We just have such positive emotions about things in the past. Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having this. Like I like to listen to Third Eye Blind and be like, oh, the 90s were great. But it doesn't mean that I want to like live in that either.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. And I think it's important to point out here that being an optimist, this does not mean ignoring bad things completely, right? Like I think we've all met folks out there who will tell you that like, hey, it'll be all right. Like don't worry about it at all the moment after something really bad has happened.
Yeah.
Like in my mind, that's not necessarily optimism. It's almost avoidance where you're just squashing any feelings that you might have. Optimism isn't about tamping down how it is that you feel about something. It's really all about putting difficulties that you encounter in a new light. It's sort of saying to yourself, hey, this is an obstacle. This is a hurdle. It's going to take some extra effort on my part, but I'm still going to get to where I want to be. I think it's okay to feel the sheer weight, the sheer crappiness of a situation. We just don't want you to sit in that funk for too long.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's okay to recognize those feelings, but then pretty shortly after that to be like, okay, but again, this is what I'm working towards and I need to make sure that we're taking the steps to get there.
Yeah. And right now, collectively as a society, we're stewing in our own pessimism and it is radically unhealthy. And so optimism, we would say, is a sort of crazy thing when you think about it. It has all these incredible benefits. And the thing is, the more progress you make, the more optimistic you start to become. It's the opposite, Matt, of what you were talking about earlier, like the terrible vicious cycle. And it becomes where now taking those continued steps in the right direction breeds even more progress. It's a virtuous cycle of sorts. Mm-hmm. Right now you know what can be done, and so you keep doing it and you start to make progress and you get energized by the progress and you keep marching in the right direction. And I don't think either of us is saying that optimism is a cure-all for poverty or for not having enough money or for having like no income.
Hey,
or
just be happier,
right? Yeah. Just turn that frown upside down,
just have a better outlook on life,
slap yourself on the butt and keep going. I mean that's not what we're saying here, but like especially I think in today's day and age with what's going on in our culture as a whole, we need a message that optimism is warranted and that it makes a difference.
Share this episode with three friends and we will upload a video of Joel slapping himself on the butt. All right, man, let's get to the beer that you and I enjoyed during this episode.
I'm so gangly, it's gonna look real weird.
Like you smack somebody else on the butt, like, all right, go get him.
Yeah.
Or like you pat yourself on the back, but you said pat yourself on the butt, which in my mind was a very funny picture. Our beer, we enjoyed a stress dissolver. This was a blackberry sour beer by Common Space. A big thanks to our friend Joel out in California for donating this one to the show. What were your thoughts on this one, buddy?
All right, so this was lightly sour. Blackberry is not usually a berry found in beers. I feel like it's often raspberries or strawberries or cherries, but this was
blueberry.
Mm-hmm. So this was interesting. And
blackberry is like lower on the hierarchy of the different berries that get used in the brewing process.
Yeah, they're usually kind of second fiddle, right, to all the other berries.
Like fifth fiddle.
They all shine today, though, in this one. And so, I liked it. It was really light for a beer.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't terribly tart.
Yeah, it wasn't super sour. Like, it's a sour beer, but it didn't have, like, it wasn't overly acidic. It didn't have, like, that mouth-puckering sourness to it.
It could really still be kind of like a lawnmower beer, right, if you want. You know? Just kind of, I know beer doesn't actually quench your thirst, but a beer that kind of feels thirst quenching.
Like it was effervescent. And so it almost made me think of like a blackberry soda, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was just real clean. It didn't have any funk, almost like a Berliner Weiss, but without that weedy chewiness that oftentimes finishes out a Berliner Weiss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, completely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Well, either way, I'm glad you and I got to enjoy this one. It's a very delicious beer to have on some of these warmer days that we've been experiencing. So maybe I'll crack one of these and get to cut my grass right after this episode.
There you go. All right. Sounds nice. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We always appreciate it. If you want links to some of the stuff we mentioned, you can find those up on the show notes at howtomoney.com. And if you want more optimistic money advice, you can always find that in our How to Money newsletter, which comes out every Tuesday morning. You can sign up for that at howtomoney.com/newsletter. It's free, by the way.
So that's right.
Check
man.
It out.
But that's going to be it for this one, buddy. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.